We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Afion Crockett. Welcome back,
brother. I'm back.
It's been a long time, too.
Not that long, you know what I mean? But long enough. You here for a good reason, though, a hip-hop story? Come on, brother.
Comes out this Friday.
Independent, you know what I'm saying? Independently, a hip-hop story. And I wanted to really emphasize, because people are like, when they see a movie, right, they always assume, why ain't they playing near me? How come it ain't at the theater right by my house? Well, because there's no big studio behind it. This is, you know what I mean? This is me and my boy Domain. We just put this thing out. But it just, thank you, brother. It just happens to look great. And it has a great message. And it's for the culture, by the culture.
It's amazing that Domain looks so tall in person. As opposed to how he looks in the film.
In the movie, right? Because he plays the Freeway character. Freeway.
Freeway, but he's gonna have smoke for you, man. I so hope Charlie Mack then put in the call to let him know it's all fun and games.
Now, we spoke to him on live the other day. Freeway's our brother, man. He loves the energy around it. And he's a main character.
Did he see it? It's easy to love the energy around it before you
but
see
but he's seen us do the impersonation before, man, so it's all love, man. It's all love, Charlamagne. You trying to start shit.
I'm not. Yeah, I was just like, damn. Why Freeway getting all these shots? What did Freeway do?
Because he saves the day. He's the hero. What are you talking about? He got to go through a few trials and tribulations and jokes. It's a comedy. We gotta make fun of people. We all get some strays.
Yeah. And when you said this is independent, it's completely independent. Shout out to you for writing and producing it too.
Like, yes, ma'am.
That's amazing. I love saying it because I love seeing us do things like that. You know what I mean? I like that. I want just to piggyback what you said off of like how he trying to start stuff with the impersonations and people getting people to play them. Has anybody ever like been offended by you like doing impersonations or just?
Nah, I'm the guy that I'm friends with all these people, first of all. And then, you know, I'm the guy that, I'm the hip-hop Weird Al where I've become the guy that they know I'm showing love to them. And it's like I'm giving, they know I'm giving them flowers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like a badge of honor. Like Nas asked me, man, why you ain't never did an impression of me? So when I hear a God MC mm-hmm. asking me to do an impression, that means I mean something to the culture. So this is a love letter to everybody in mm-hmm. the culture. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
When I was watching the movie, the thing I kept thinking about was this is the only vehicle Avion could showcase all of these skill sets.
In one place.
Because you've been doing all these characters forever.
For years.
But it's mm-hmm. like, I don't know if Hollywood would ever understand exactly what it is you do. Like, you would have to do this on your own.
Well, it's funny you picked up on that, because that's why I originally wrote it. I wrote this back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did it, that was at a time when me and Domain was doing all of the YouTube parodies.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, every time I go somewhere, yo, do Jay-Z, do this, do that. And I was like, I'm tired of doing these goddamn impressions. Why don't I just put them all in one project so y'all could have all the impressions in one sitting
mm-hmm.
and I'm done with them. That's how I thought at the time. But now it's just like, all right, I'm going to use all my tools mm-hmm. to my advantage, you know?
How many do you do in a movie? How many impersonations?
I still haven't counted, but it's probably 12.
Russell, Jay, Ludacris,
Luda,
Cornel West,
Drake,
Swizz,
Joe Budden.
Did we say Cornel West?
Cornel West.
Drake. Shit. Will Smith, Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm doing Biggie's voice for Cedric
Rascal
on the rap.
Simmons.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, man.
Damn.
We cooking. But when I say it's independent, I mean I literally paid for this movie with stand-up tour money.
Mm.
Wow.
Right? Domain had all the cameras and the film know-how. We both know how to edit. We both know how to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So this was really an effort. So to see that it when I dropped that trailer, to see it spread around the internet as fast as it did within a day, and to see all the culture from Snoop to Exhibit to Cedric to Deion Cole, Russell Simmons, like everybody was posting this joint and just rallying behind it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just thankful to the culture for seeing it for what it is.
I didn't think it was real at first.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You play so many games sometimes that I was like,
this ain't
real. I was like, this ain't real.
What do you mean?
You always really did. Play. You
I didn't think
play.
It was real. I was like, I mean, it's a funny trailer.
Yeah,
I thought
too.
It was like,
I was like, he's playing.
A funny
so
trailer.
You thought it was like a sketch trailer.
Yeah. I did.
I can see that.
Because you always playing.
Rightfully
like,
so. I do play a lot, but you know, I'm also very serious.
I didn't realize it was a real movie until about 2 weeks ago.
Because
I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, that's a funny trailer.
Right.
But then as I saw people like Charlie Mack and everybody keep posting it, then I saw the post, I'm like, oh, this is really a movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because everybody's so used to his parodies, but like, nah, if you see certain people post it, it's like, oh, right, it gotta be
something.
Certain people don't play like that.
Exactly.
Still all the time. So yeah, you see Charlie Mack.
Snoop is one of the biggest fans, man. He's like really championing the movie right now too. But again, this is my love letter to the culture. But we put some production value into it too. Like it ain't like some bootleg kind of cheesy movie.
No,
we got lighting, we got cameras, mm-hmm. we got the whole situation, and it's a great story.
What gave you the idea for the film? Because you said you started in 2008, but it feels so timely because last year was the 50th year of hip hop.
Yeah, so I wrote it in 2008, and because I incorporated so much of hip hop history and mm-hmm. the nostalgia,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't change. Right, so the only thing I had to change reference-wise was some of the newer references. Like in the original script, when they were trying to go around and get the message of hip hop back out to the culture,
mm-hmm.
we went to places like 106 and Park and Tavis Smiley Show. So mm-hmm. I just swapped that out for, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
like Funk Flex and Joe Budden and all that. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean.
Did you ever consider not playing all those roles in the movie?
Not the ones that I knew that I could play. I never considered like. Mm-hmm. switching them out. The only one that I wasn't supposed to play was Ghostface character.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we had a situation and I had to step in at the last minute and just do what I had to do. But no, I always wanted to showcase myself and my friends. Like mm-hmm. Domain plays three characters, Puff, Freeway, who else? Modi, yeah,
Cool
God.
Yeah.
Body's cool Modi in the flashback scene. We showcase some really historic moments. So the battle between Kumo D and Busy B, which was the time when lyricism was now like the showcase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we had Grandmaster Caz and those guys doing it, that was the battle that made people say, okay, I want to go away from party emceeing to lyricism.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to just showcase real moments in hip hop mm-hmm. history interlaced with comedy.
How much homework did you have to do? Or did a lot of this stuff you grew up on and you knew already?
I knew a lot of it. A lot of it was already living in my brain. What I did do was research on like dates, times, people's ages, so it could be realistic to our portrayals of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Why theaters? Yeah.
We have a deal with AMC. We have a close friend over there that was like presented the idea to us, and I'm like, the streaming game is amazing, mm-hmm. But a movie like this, you need to see in theaters. Yeah. It's the difference between looking at or listening to an album on your phone versus listen to it in the studio or in your car. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a hip hop movie. It's a musical, right? So the beats and the rhymes, if you listen to it in the theater, like when we had our premieres, mm-hmm. The two screenings that we've had, you see people in the theater like doing this. They nodding their head and they rocking and they're cheering after the finale song. I won't say what it is, but after that finale song, they are cheering in the theater. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to have that movie going experience. And because we have a connection over there with AMC, it just felt like a good look for us. Mm-hmm. You know, most movies have 1,000 to 4,000. Those big budget movies, those superhero movies, they have 4,000 locations. We were like, all right, give us 150 and let us just work with that. And that's plenty for us because, again, we don't have big marketing dollars behind us. Yeah. It's my stand-up money. you understand me?
Let them know.
Come on now.
Stand-up money.
So you called in a lot of favors, too, then?
Of course, man. This game is all about relationships.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Even me being here with y'all. Like, mm-hmm. I just put out the call, Eddie, and you know, y'all show love to me all the time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I want to promote this indie movie, and that's why I'm here. So same with the movie. I called Cedric, Lil Rel. It was all text messages. Charlie Mack, he put in calls. Lil Mama came out. She played the MC Light role. But everybody was perfectly cast. It was everyone that I had in my mind that I wanted to play these roles. They all showed up for me.
Give us a sense of the budget.
Nope.
Thank you. $25 million.
Thank you. Like,
mind your own goddamn business. The sense of the budget is mind your goddamn business.
For those who may want to do their own independent films,
nah,
what's the ballpark range?
They be shooting it on their phones. You've seen the Tubi joint. Let them keep shooting on their phones. We got other things we doing over here, Charlemagne. I'm going to come to you next time. You going to invest.
He got it.
He got it.
Don't ask him to be in it. Just ask him to invest.
I would love to.
Now, fuck that. Charlamagne going to be an actor.
I'm going to
turn him into a Morpheus, nigga.
You get tired of
with
doing
perfect eyebrows, nigga. Already got those. Please.
No, he does not. You get tired of doing impersonations? Is it one of the things like, it's like, look, I'm tired of doing a goddamn impersonation?
At the time when I wrote the movie, that's mm-hmm. when I was tired of it because I was like, I want the world to see me for whatever. Now, I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Love me for how you love me. You know what I'm saying? However you recognize me, however you, whatever you take on, if you just know me from an Instagram post, it's all love.
What's your favorite one to do?
I don't have a favorite impression to do. I just do them. But my favorite new one, because it's been so well received in these screenings, is Cornel West.
I never seen you do Cornel. I never seen anybody do Cornel. That shit was hilarious.
I've seen a couple people do it, but I just did my own take on them. But that was my first time doing them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I
didn't even know I could really do it, so I just told my makeup artist, I said, just give me the wig, give me the gap in the teeth. And once I had the whole garb on, Charlie Mack almost passed out laughing. Mm-hmm. He just couldn't contain himself. It was just so funny to him. So that's when I knew the look was right on. Mm-hmm. And then when the cameras came on, I was like, you know, I want to get down here to the Breakfast Club. Even though they don't have no eggs, bacon, avocado toast. You see.
None of that.
Charlamagne here. Yeah. Charlamagne understands what the eyebrows mean to the black people, you see. Now, why do they have Jess sitting in a gender reveal chair? You see, I don't know. Because she's the queen of the gender people. You see.
You better tell him.
Does this immortalize those characters forever? Like, do you even do...
Of course.
Do you do Jay-Z anymore? Do you do Russell anymore after
this? He better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, the two that you just named, Jay and Russell, they're fans of my impression of them.
Yeah, Russell love it.
So it's like, and this movie is one of those movies that's going to live on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we set out to do it with our hopes and, you know, let's see what it does. Let's see if we can make a movie. Now that we have it done and you can see it, it's going to live on forever.
What is hip-hop culture to you, Avion? Because I always thought about this, because even back in the day when y'all used to do the sketches, you and Nick, it always kind of felt like y'all was making fun of Down South music.
Nah. What we make fun of is lazy music.
Okay.
Because that's the distinction in the movie. The barbershop scene shows you that this conversation between old heads and young heads and old music versus young, it's always been a conversation.
Mm.
You know, that barbershop scene was about blues versus soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me pointing out saying, look, as old heads, we got to stop saying that the young generation is trash or that we just don't understand them. We're older. We're not supposed to understand them, but all of them are, some of them are great.
Yeah.
The same way there's some garbage old niggas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everybody in the 90s was not fire.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So we can't sit back and be like, yo, hip hop always been fire.
Right.
There was some garbage niggas in the 80s and the 90s, right?
Yeah.
So there's some lazy young rappers, and then we got Simba and we got La Russell. We got some dope guys out here. Uzi Vert is a B-boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He chooses to do songs like I Just Wanna Rock. And that's him having fun. He has the creative artistic freedom to do that.
Yeah.
But that dude's really a B-boy. He will windmill on your ass. He will do some flares. He will top rock on you. So you can't say he's not of the culture. So it's just to point out to say, look, we gotta stop bickering. We use the young people as a device to get the backpack character, J-Bum, to have something to be like, yo, man, hip-hop is fucked up. And when he goes to the Roscoe Russell character, that gives him the incentive to point Russell around to say, hip-hop is fucked up. But as we start going down...
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the journey, Black culture starts to be put on the spotlight, and the elites of the Black culture start to be, you know, so we all are responsible for where we are as a culture.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't about, you know, just hip hop being bad. It was what the negative impact is having on people.
More so about that. Yeah. More so about, you know, the deaths and, you know, the drug overdoses. It's been a lot more of that in the last 15 years than we've ever seen in hip hop. Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris Rock, that's another character you played.
Oh, Craig Rock.
I talked about that with the crime acronym.
And he did the whole, I love hip-hop, but I hate rap. Okay? Fuck out of here, man. Okay? Yeah, do a whole. I wanted to do a whole stand-up special in the movie of Chris Rock just talking about hip-hop in the brilliant way that he breaks down everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I see you comedians are crazy than these rappers right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I used to always say this in interviews. I was like, man, comedians, we're not rappers, man. Let's not beef with each other and do all that. But it's really there now.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
Why, though? I don't know. I have nothing to do with it. I've never been the guy that brings his personal beefs into the public. If I say anything about somebody, it's going to be positive. I have positive things to say about all these guys, but you know, that's not a popular message. You know what I'm saying? So I just stay out of it. It has nothing to do with me. I don't ever get involved in that kind of stuff. If I got a problem with you, me and you could talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. Like, we grown as fuck. Like, why am I on a microphone talking about anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna just call you. And if we could work it out, we could work it out. If not, I just don't mess with you.
Do you feel like it hurts or helps comedy? Like,
I think it divides the audience.
Definitely.
It makes the audience have to choose, and we're in a dick riding society. So people want to choose, they want to rally behind whoever they think is whatever. And so, yeah, it definitely can divide the audience. And I think we're just more of a beautiful, creative people that shit, it's not me.
We don't have to.
I agree. It's a dick riding society, and the best dick changes from moment to moment. Pause.
Oh, wow.
What are you talking about?
Run that back.
Wow.
But over there. Keep it over there.
That's why
run it back.
You can't even impersonate gay nigga like that.
Why did you even say that?
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't.
Right.
That's a new movie.
That's a new movie.
I'm trying to say is whoever people think is
why
that
do you
person.
Even try to say that?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to explain?
Whoever people think is hot, they hop from dick to dick based on the moment.
Whoa.
Look, when like I it said was Cat in January, then it was Monique. You know what I'm saying? So
it's
like
when I said it's a dick riding society, we could have left the analogy.
That's it.
We got it.
We understood it.
Dick, that was something different. You could have came through with your own new addition to the statement.
It's impossible to be a consistent dick rider, is what I'm saying.
You're God damn it, Charlamagne.
Oh my God, yo. He want to talk about who dick with dick. Like,
wow.
Too much.
He just went leapfrog with the dick.
Oh,
man.
You,
very awkward.
It was.
Oh, my God.
It got weird. It just got weird.
How involved is Charlie Mack in the making of this?
You going to go from that to now, Charlie Mack?
Nah, don't.
You
couldn't even have like a son.
Charlie ain't going to follow them dicks.
Yeah,
Charlie ain't going to follow them
dicks. How dare you?
Don't make Charlie follow them dicks. How dare you, Charlamagne?
You could come up with another question. Didn't go Charlie Mack? Damn.
He's first out the limo. Not first out, not first out the porno, nigga. He ain't first out the porno.
No.
It don't matter where you go after that. So...
How involved?
So we can leave dicks now? Can we?
Yeah,
leave
we go. We done with dicks.
All right, we're done with dicks.
Done with dicks. We delivered.
But look, I have a dick. It's all good.
Yeah.
No, Charlie's big bro. He's hip hop. He's the connector. There's not a call that he will not make.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The first person that saw this movie in full was Will Smith because of Charlie Mack. Mm. Me and Charlie went to Will's theater and screened it for him. Will gave me 45 minutes of filmmaking gems after that. Just wisdom. Wow. And he loved the movie. And we saw him at the 50th celebration of hip hop where the first time he performed again.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling people backstage, yo, Afion has this movie.
hey, he plays like 40 people, right?
Great, but yeah, that's what I'm trying to make. I was just trying to move away from the dicks.
Yes.
Did you ever think about having the real characters in? Because there's a moment where Fredro's in there.
Yeah.
We wanted to have a mix of that just to make it grounded, to make it feel valid,
mm-hmm.
to make it really feel like they were sitting next to a Russell. And then when you see Jay, you really want to feel like it's Jay. So yeah, we did purposely sprinkle in some real OGs.
Right.
Just to, give it that real hip-hop grounded feeling.
Is there any character that you tried to catch that you just couldn't catch? It was like, I tried, but it's not fitting right.
Impression-wise?
Yeah.
No. Really? Everything that was on the page, the movie is pretty much what was on the page.
Wow.
So we were able to cast it or play the roles that we wanted.
And
shout out to my boy Jevin Smith, man. Jevin Smith, he played 50 Cent or 45 Cent,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Too Short, E-40, that dude, man, we all been rocking together for like 20 years. YouTube, doing all of the spoofs. But yeah, he's one of those guys that transforms also. You know, there's a lot of people that do impersonations, but to be able to transform your face enough to where it looks like you really believe that that's the person, you know, he's one of them dudes, so.
That one scene when it's you playing Cornell and Joe Budden at the same time, is that difficult to pull off?
No, so my body double is my security, Carlos. That's my guy.
Nice. Okay,
we just happen to be the same size. He's more muscles than me, but mm-hmm. for the characters that we were playing, he was able to play Roscoe when I needed him to. He was the second Joe Budden when I'm Cornell. So it just all blended the right way.
Were you concerned about portraying Russell because of like the controversy surrounding him?
I wrote it in 2008. So, oh, you know what I mean? Before all of that stuff happened, I made the movie about the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't a thing to emphasize anybody's cases. I'm not in that world, mm-hmm. so I don't know. So yeah. I just made it funny enough and universal enough to where it's about the culture and we're just telling a story about hip hop.
And you if you tell a story about hip hop, you can't tell it without talking about Russell Simmons.
I mean,
you can't tell it without talking about Diddy. You have to.
He contributed. And then we also wanted to do characters that we could convincingly portray.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he's somebody that I've been doing impressions of for so long. And then the whole yoga thing, like me mm-hmm. and my tidy whities, I just thought it was a funny device to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to have a narration of him with a lisp, mm-hmm. the whole movie, why not?
Hilarious.
Are you a Morgan Freeman moment.
Do you think you're going to offend the lisp community?
You mean like yourself?
Yes.
Were you offended?
Shannon Sharp.
Were you offended watching the movie?
No.
Don't try to call out no other listeners like the listeners. Nah, don't.
You're always trying to start
shit. Come on, me, Shannon Sharp. Right. No, don't do that.
The lispers.
Don't do that.
The lispers.
The lispers.
Yeah, they get mad. They be spitting all over the place. Don't be doing all that.
Outside please. Protesting his
feet. Yes.
He go to the club. He be like, am I on the list?
So where can we find this movie on Friday?
AMC.
Yes. All
limited,
AMCs.
Not ooh, all. Okay. No, it's very limited. It's only 159.
Okay.
159. Go to amctheaters.com, search A Hip Hop Story, and just see where it pops up in your area. It's mm-hmm. 159 locations. And the people will determine how successful this movie is in theaters. And then we'll figure out the streaming deal or the streaming platform that we want to go to after that. But right now, if you want to enjoy the movie, you'll see it this weekend.
What's considered a success? Like, what would you need to, like, make your money back? and some profit.
He a bird. He's like a bird.
Him going back to the budget situation. 80 million. 80 to 100 million.
That'd be fantastic.
That would be great.
Period.
That'd be
great. Big.
80 million, Charlemagne. Mm-hmm. Bob Marley just did 70.
We love that.
Yeah, worldwide.
Yeah, salute to the Marley film, man, for sure.
I'm about to ask, too, with you doing sketches so early, did you get your necessary, I should say, profit or check from YouTube? Because you were doing it before it was cool.
Oh, my
God.
Nah,
I wasn't. They didn't even have the partner program when I was doing it. You know what I mean? The only thing that I got at the time, we would get, like, some brands that would be like, hey, man, we'll give you a couple dollars to throw this brand in here or whatever. But for the most part, no. We just got clout, props, and I learned the social media game before a lot of people were on it, which is what makes me still relevant to this day. Because I'm not the old head. I was never the old head that was like, man, fuck these young niggas. Fuck Jess Hilarious. Mm-hmm. She using her phone. That's cheating. Mm-hmm. I embraced it from day one because if you can use any platform, why wouldn't you use it?
Yeah.
Why would you be that nigga?
Yeah.
I always say, like, that's as dumb as when they put power windows in cars. You the old nigga talking about, man, I need to roll that shit down. I don't want to push no buttons. I need to roll shit down. It make me more comfortable with how I feel about things. You not a real nigga if you not rolling it down.
Right.
You ain't real.
Right.
What? Yeah. Right. Use every platform and just adjust to the times, so old nigga.
Other than stand-up, sketch is the hardest comedy to me, though.
Why?
It's very difficult to execute.
Because he's not good at it.
I don't think many are, though.
That's right.
Many people are. In the history of comedy, I don't think there's been too many people who are funny at sketch.
Well, there's a difference between skits and sketches.
Absolutely.
Ooh, okay.
Online is where you see a lot of skits.
Okay.
And a lot of it is, you know, rehashed. People are borrowing from this person, that person. And it's all good. Like, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's going to think about the same idea, right? But long-form sketch, that's why In Living Color was so impactful.
Absolutely.
That's why Saturday Night Live is an institution.
Chappelle.
Right? Chappelle show. Long-form. Listen, Chappelle was so unorthodox with sketch. He broke the mold, right? Some episodes he did traditional sketch. 3 minutes, let's go to commercial break, then come back to another whole new sketch. The Rick James in the Prince, Charlie Murphy story, was the entire episode.
Where?
So he broke the mold. He told a long-form sketch in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was funny every time they came back. Mm-hmm. And it just kept upping the ante.
Mm-hmm.
So sketch is a whole different art form, and you have to know how to write. You have to understand story, and it takes you to a different level. Skits, that's what people do on the internet, and it's great. Like, mm-hmm. it's making them money. But if you want to entertain people and be able to hold their attention and do a film or long-form sketch, you have to know how to write. You have to know some old-school principles.
I never thought about the difference between sketch and skit.
That
makes sense. Why do you think, you know, early on, you didn't take off with sketch the way you should have, I think?
How do you mean?
I remember Short Circuit back in the day. That was like, what, 07? That was before Key and Peele.
Yeah, that was
and all
Nick's
that
show.
Like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think at some point, sketch was oversaturated.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And networks didn't want to take the chance on it. I mean, Fox gave me a chance to do it, but they put me with all the wrong executives. When I had to explain to them who Manny Pacquiao and Drake were at the time, I was just like, wow.
Never mind.
This is the journey that we're on. Huh? So, you know, it's just the wrong people doing it. So that's why I went to YouTube and just started doing my own ideas, because it's like, why am I waiting around for somebody to give me anything?
Right.
We've always been like, let's just do it. Let's just go shoot it. So, you know, I feel like sketch has gotten me everywhere.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? How you might judge it, because you missed the numbers and want to know budgets, might be a different measuring stick.
You've always been one of the best doing sketch.
Thank you, Charlamagne.
That just shows me that, you know, Hollywood don't know what the fuck they be talking about 95%
of the time.
No, they
don't. They don't. That's why we do our own independent movies.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't audition for the same cast and directors all the time, because they want to... A lot of them like to hire their friends, and, you know, it's that thing, too. But when you show them what it is you want to do, it changes the conversation for you. You know what I mean? It's the same thing that Ryan Coogler, Michael B. did with Fruitvale Station. Like, made a movie about a very serious, real-life event, but they presented themselves as, no, we are those guys. We really know how to make these stories come to life. And that's what me and Domain did with a hip-hop story.
And you've been building that base online for so long that those same people will show up this Friday.
That's right.
Man, come on. Say it again, Charlamagne.
I forgot what I said.
No, say it again.
You said
the
same people.
Yes, you've been building your base online for so long that those same people are going to show up this Friday.
There you go.
That's right.
A hip-hop story.
You got a real base.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Well, the hip-hop story is out this Friday, and we appreciate you for joining us, brother.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate you having me on Crockett.
Thank you,
Charlamagne, for bringing up dicks.
Dicks and budgets. Yes.
Dicks and budgets. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.